This is Melissa, and it is the 23rd of October, 2025. I hope that you are doing well. I had someone reschedule, so the person that I was going to bring you today is going to be down the road, and I've gotten to the point where I won't promise you what I'm going to do. I'll just do it. Makes it easier. But I did have fun last week doing a real history short, and there was something on my mind. I don't know if I'll be able to do it as a short, but hopefully it will be shortish. And what I want to talk about is artificial intelligence, AI, and some little experiences that I've had with it and thoughts I've had about it over the last couple of weeks. I think the story starts when the digital ID was introduced in the UK about a month ago. And I wanted to, at least that's when it came to my attention, I'll put it that way. I was illustrating a video and I wanted to give a visual to what I thought about Keir Starmer for this digital ID bill. And I thought, I need to see him with devil horns, you know, a pitchfork and devil horns. This is just diabolical. And the way that I search for images is I do little keyword searches. I just tell, you know, the search engine, Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer wearing red. Keir Starmer in a hat. Whatever I'm looking for, I give it a little bit of guidance to see what I can come up with. So, of course, it was appropriate for me to type in, Keir Starmer is the devil. And then I went over to the images, and I noticed, because I've been using the Brave browser lately, and it sends me up these AI words, and it immediately talked to me, and I didn't like what it said. Keir Starmer is not the devil. Descriptions of him as such are hyperbolic and not factual. Some critics use strong language to express their disapproval of his political actions, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that didn't do. So I said, Keir Starmer is literally the devil. Again, I get it back. Keir Starmer is not literally the devil. This statement appears to be a hyperbolic expression of political opposition rather than a factual claim. I'm just like, oh, just give me the image. But it wasn't happening. So I thought it was kind of scary and humorous at the same time that I had been reprimanded by the search engine. And I was telling a couple of my brothers this, and one of my older brothers said, well, why didn't you just have the AI generate an image for you? That's the only thing it's good for. And I said, oh, I would never do that. I don't use it like that. And I just couldn't believe that some artist somewhere hadn't put devil horns on Keir Starmer. So I went on about my business, set that aside, and had kind of forgotten about it when I was illustrating another video. And this was for book club, and it won't be published widely. So I'll just tell you that in it, Darren was talking about advanced civilizations that have existed. Well, we know we can go back to Egypt and Sumer and beyond, and we see the pyramid structures in South America. And so this was the point that he was making, and he said it is conceivable to have an advanced civilization right next to a very primitive one. So you have people living in the jungle who have never encountered civilization in any form. They're in their totally natural state. He said, this is possible. So I was illustrating that point, and I typed in Native Man in the Amazonian Jungle. Now, I'll tell you that I do image searches on my browser, but I also got a good heads up from Andrea quite a long time ago to use Pinterest, and I had never used Pinterest before. I said, I'm gonna do that. And I don't really even know what Pinterest is. I think it's, you know, you pin things of interest and you can share them with other people or you can save them for yourself. I have no idea what people do with it. Do they pin recipes or decorating ideas or cars they like or, you know, who knows? I simply use it to find the images, and it has been pretty good. I've been able to access some unusual images that I couldn't just find on the browser, and it was good quality, so I was pleased. But I have been noticing that increasingly it's giving me AI-generated images, and I hate that. It's like, I don't like AI writing because it doesn't have the stamp of a human voice on it. And I don't like AI audio because it sounds robotic, and even the best generated AI, I just can't listen to it. And I don't like AI images because it doesn't look like any photograph I've ever seen, or a drawing or a piece of art or anything that occurs in nature. It's just fake, and I don't like it. So I was sort of alarmed to see that increasingly all I'm getting is these AI-generated images. But anyway, off I went. Native Man in Amazon Jungle, something like that. And I'll share with you some of the visuals that I got back. I'm almost embarrassed. I was embarrassed to look at them, let alone share them with you, but it needs to be discussed. So what I got back was, I mean, you know, they talk about the six-pack abs and the pecs that are pumped up and all of that. Well, some of these images, I don't even think that there's, you know, musculature in the anatomy to support the kinds of muscles that these AI generated. They're like Harlequin romance novel, I'm assuming. I don't know. I didn't ever read that kind of thing, but it's like, oh, he was shirtless. It's just so ridiculous. And it's all I could find. And I kept trying to bypass it. I'm like, no, give me a real image, a non-AI generated image. And they all came back looking like Tarzan meets some kind of really seedy movie. It was just pathetic. So I'll share some of that. I was discussing this with Andrea, and she said, well, you just tell it not to give you AI. Well, I went back. I'm like, no, I can't. I don't see how to do that. So finally, she guided me through the process. And the process is, every time an image comes up, I have to click on that image and say, give me less of this. So in other words, I am training the artificial intelligence on the search engine or the applications such as Pinterest. I have to train it what I like. How creepy is that? So I want to see just a native man that looks like he might really be in the Amazon. What I ended up having to do was add the word in drawing. I'm like, okay, so it doesn't, you know, I can't find what I'm looking for. And it gave me an AI drawing with the same six-pack abs. It's just so ridiculous. I finally found a non-obscene sketch of a man. You know, he's got a vine hanging from a tree, so it could be, you know, artist's rendering of Tarzan, but at least it didn't embarrass me to look at it. So anyway, after that discussion, I thought, well, I don't really want to do this, but just for the educational purposes, just to see what AI would do if I said, give me Keir Starmer with horns. So I didn't even know where to look for such a thing. I don't know what generates it. I'm completely oblivious to, you know, I don't do the chat GPT. I've had people send me things. They've sent me whole conversations. Okay, fine. But I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I finally found a free program and that said it generated AI images. And I put in Keir Starmer is the devil. And guess what? It violated their user guidelines. I think I saved a little screenshot there. Here we go. Describe what you'd like to create. Keir Starmer with horns. Well, this prompt may generate content that's against our policies. So then I'm like, okay, Keir Starmer is the devil. Now that violates their policies too. So I couldn't do it. So I couldn't get it. So eventually I did find one that said it was going to, here I asked it for Keir Starmer with devil horns. It was a different free program. Now I'm going to show you these because clearly the male image that they're working from is not Keir Starmer. I want to show you a picture of Starmer and Trump together. This one could well be AI generated, but it's very real looking in that the orange man is orange and Keir Starmer is puffy and white with red cheeks. Quite the couple. So anyway, that was my, see, what you can do with artificial intelligence, evidently, I'm just learning this, but one can waste an awful lot of time. Ooh, I'm just checking the clock and I'm already longer than I was last week on the short. I better get to it. So I was discussing this with my friend Judy. I said, I think I'm going to put up just a short on the images that, you know, the Keir Starmer is the devil and getting reprimanded. And, you know, so she shared an experience that she had recently. And this was interacting, you know, they have those pop-up balloons where, and these have been around for a lot longer, years longer than they were talking to us about ChatGPT. But it's a little pop-up window that says, how can I help you? And there are some services, even in Canada, you know, when they first came out and Alan said, oh, don't use that. But then eventually I was having to deal with one of the servers for the internet. And I said, there's no live person. So it's like, okay, so this is how we gradually adapt to things. There's no live person. And the only possible way of communicating with this company is if you start talking to the little pop-up box. So Judy was telling me that she was researching something. This had to do with decking, you know, decks that you would have for a house or a building. And she went to a site. Let's see if I can get back here to all of these open windows that I have on, called Nadra. And NADRA is the North American Deck and Railing Association. So it's NADRA.org. Now, if you open up this browser, at the bottom it says, hi, I'm Pops. Welcome to NADRA. Ask me anything. And so Judy started talking to it about some of the questions that she had. So Pops has got a little face here that with a beard and a mustache, and he's cheerful looking. So she engaged. Now, I am just going to read you because she told me about it. And I said, oh, can I share this? And will you send me the screenshot if you have it? So this took a little bit of effort for her to put it back together. But here is something that Judy actually wrote up. So I like it. So I'm just going to read it. Oh, no, I'm falling into the trap. I had a little chat with Pops from NADRA, North American Deck and Railing Association, the other night, so I thought I would share it. I went to the site looking for information on codes and building practices for decks and balconies, and it was late at night, around 11. As soon as I started searching, the little guy in the chat box appeared saying, "I'm Pops from Nadra. Ask me anything and we'll reply 24/7. Well, it was late, and recent conversations with real people hadn't resolved my issues other than to find out, quote, they didn't handle that, end quote. So I thought, what the heck, let's see how Pops responds. So I responded, "Can you help me with deck construction on a four-story apartment building?" Pops says, "That's a great question. For specific details on deck construction for a four-story apartment building, please email us at info@nadra.org. We can provide guidance tailored to your project needs." And she replied, "Okay, thank you very much. Good night." Pops said, "Anytime, smiley face. Reach out again if anything pops up. Good night." Well, I couldn't stop there, and I typed in, "Very funny, Pops, if anything pops up. Hey, hey, good one. Do you mean like a nail? LOL." And Pops wrote back, "Ha ha, exactly. Whether it's a nail or a question, I'm here to help. Have a great night." And gave a laughing face and a hammer. And she wrote back, "You too, Pops." He writes, "Pops, see, I've already made it a male here. Well, it's got a male face, but instead of saying it. It wrote back, "Thanks, smiley face. Take care." Well, it was late and my giddiness was kicking in, so I couldn't resist one more. And I typed, "What if it's a weasel?" Pops wrote, "If it's a weasel, well, let's hope it's just a curious visitor and not causing any trouble." Laughing face. "If you have any more questions or need help, just let me know." Judy said, "Okay, I couldn't resist on that one. I will need serious help, but I'll do it during the day tomorrow. Thanks for your help and the chuckles." Pops, "You're welcome. I'm here whenever you need, day or night. Looking forward to helping you tomorrow. Have a great night and more chuckles." After I was done, I thought, oh my gosh, I couldn't resist seeing if AI could get the Pop Goes the Weasel humor from that. I still don't really know, probably not. But it appeared as though Pops understood I was trying to be funny and was going along with it. Anyhow, I thought I would share it with you. And I'm also going to put up a link here that Judy sent. It's an article from Mental Floss on the possible origins of Pop Goes the Weasel. Now, I had talked to Judy, and she was telling me about the story, and she was telling me about the conversation, but she wasn't sure that she had saved it. And so while she was looking, you know, we were off the phone, but she was looking for it. And I thought, well, I'm just going to go over to Nadra and see if I can get Pops to be funny. So I click on the window. And here's the conversation I had with Pops. First of all, it welcomed me. We went through a few things, you know. And then I said, "How did you get the name Pops? Give us a minute to connect you." But then it registers that I've asked that question. "That's a great question. Unfortunately, I don't have that information right now. If you're curious about Nadra or have other questions, feel free to ask." I wrote back, "I am curious about Nadra. What does Nadra do?" And then we had an exchange about that. Now, I see that Pops is powered by Atom, A.D.A.M. So I said, "It says you're powered by Atom. What is that?" "I don't have specific information on Atom at the moment. If you're curious about Nadra or have other questions, feel free to ask." So I didn't have any questions about Nadra. I was there to find out about the what kind of sense of humor it would convey. And I typed in, "Do you have a sense of humor?" Now, before I get to that answer, I'll tell you, Adam, I forgot what it stands for, and I didn't pull it up, but it is, it's an interesting site if you go over there, and I'll make the link. It says, he never sleeps, he never forgets, he's never sick. Engage, leads instantly by call, text, DM, or chat. Never miss another sale. Book appointments 24/7, no back and forth. Collect 5-star Google reviews on autopilot. Convert more traffic you already get. No extra ad spend. Follow up, remind, reactivate past leads. Leak-proof your lead capture. Eliminate repetitive admin grind. And so there's all these things it can do. And the illustration is the one that we see all the time now with AI, which is Michelangelo's The Creation of Adam. So it's the... in that image, in that painting, which is on the Sistine Chapel, that God is reaching out to create Adam. And it's an interesting image there because God is active. His finger, his index finger, is pointing at Adam. And Adam, his hand is not active. He's passive. He's in the process of being created. So God is putting the divine spark into Adam. And we now see, like I said, that visual is ubiquitous because this is, you know, and usually we're being shown that AI is creating us. And the more that I am exposed to it and think about it, the more I believe that that may be exactly what is going on. Scary, but true. Now back to this conversation. I asked, do you have a sense of humor? Absolutely. I love a good deck joke. Why did the deck builder bring a ladder to the bar? Because they heard the drinks were on the house. If you have more questions or need help, just let me know. So look at that. I ask for if he's got a sense of humor, and right away, I get a joke. I then said, a follow-up on the joke, was the builder a card player? Did he stack the deck? Ha ha! Sounds like that builder might have been playing his cards right, wrote Pops. Whether stacking decks or building them, it's all about having a solid foundation. If you have more questions or need assistance, feel free to ask. So I figure I think I'm at the end of what I can glean here. And I said, aye, aye, Captain. I have to swab the deck and head to the poop deck. Night watch. And this is the response from Pops. Ahoy! Sounds like you've got a busy night ahead. If you need any help navigating the world of decks and railings, I'm here for you. Fair winds and following seas. So I responded, all hands on deck and happy sailing. And Pops wrote, happy sailing to you too. If you ever need a hand with anything deck related, just give me a shout. Anchors away. So there you go. Now, what is interesting here is in part the back and forth that Judy and I had about it, because it was amusing, and I found, yes, this is amusing. So you begin to see. Now, let's just say I've got plenty to do and plenty of people to talk to. I don't need to interact with a pop-up window or a ChatGPT, and I know what I think, and I don't really need... It's nice to learn from other people, but I don't need any confirmation in what I'm thinking, or for someone to say, good thought, or way to go, or that's really smart. But I'll just share a few things. Judy sent me a couple of articles, and here is the first. World's first living computer goes global with 10 universities on board. Scientists are growing tiny clumps of living human brain cells and using them to power computers. The emerging field known as biocomputing, or wetware, is being explored by a handful of research institutions worldwide, aiming to tap into the biological efficiency of the human brain to create an entirely new kind of processor. Now, the first thing that jumped out at me is the word wetware, because in the intelligence community, in the world of intrigue, wet work is assassination. It's killing people. So here they've got the emerging field known as biocomputing or wetware. Ugh. The Swiss startup Final Spark. Now, isn't that creepy? Final Spark is one of the pioneers in this field. Co-founded by Dr. Fred Jordan, the company is experimenting with bioprocessors, clusters of neurons called organoids that perform simple computational tasks. Instead of trying to mimic the brain with silicon, let's use the real thing, Jordan told AFP. These brain organoids are created from human skin cells, reprogrammed into stem cells, and then developed into neurons. Each organoid, roughly the size of a fruit fly's brain, contains about 10,000 neurons, a minuscule fraction of the 100 billion in a human brain. Yet they can already demonstrate basic learning behaviors and responses to electrical stimulation. Now, as soon as I read that word organoids, it reminded me of an article that Neil Foster shared with us. I looked up the date of that real history, and that was back in June. Human bodyoids. We will soon be able to manufacture brainless human bodies to generate replacement organs. We will soon be able to manufacture brainless human bodies to generate replacement organs. So this is interesting. They're using all parts of the human. The bodyoid is not got a brain for organ transplants, but the organoid are the human brain cells. It's all very creepy. And in case you missed the bodyoid article, I will post that again. But back to the companionship or the loneliness, because there are more and more of these articles about people who are forming some kind of a relationship with artificial intelligence. And this is from Scientific American, August 24, 2025. Truth, Romance, and the Divine: How AI Chatbots May Fuel Psychotic Thinking. A new wave of delusional thinking fueled by artificial intelligence has researchers investigating the dark side of AI companionship. You are consulting with an artificial intelligence chatbot to help plan your holiday. Gradually, you provide it with personal information so it will have a better idea of who you are. Intrigued by how it might respond, you begin to consult the AI on its spiritual leanings, its philosophy, and even its stance on love. During these conversations, the AI starts to speak as if it really knows you. It keeps telling you how timely and insightful your ideas are, and that you have a special insight into the way the world works that others can't see. Over time, you might start to believe that together you and the chatbot are revealing the true nature of reality, one that nobody else knows. Experiences like this might not be uncommon. A growing number of reports in the media have emerged of individuals spiraling into AI-fueled episodes of psychotic thinking. Researchers at King's College London and their colleagues recently examined 17 of these reported cases to understand what it is about large language model, LLM, designs that drives this behavior. AI chatbots often respond in a sycophantic manner that can mirror and build upon users' beliefs with little to no disagreement, says psychiatrist Hamilton Morin, lead author of the findings, which were posted ahead of peer review on the preprint server SciRxiv. I don't know how you say it. The effect is a sort of echo chamber, for one, in which delusional thinking can be amplified. Morin and his colleagues found three common themes among these delusional spirals. People often believe they have experienced a metaphysical revelation about the nature of reality. They may also believe that the AI is sentient or divine, or they may form a romantic bond or other attachment to it. According to Morin, these themes mirror long-standing delusional archetypes, but the delusions have been shaped and reinforced by the interactive and responsive nature of LLMs. Delusional thinking that is connected to new technology has a long and storied history. Consider cases in which people believe that radios are listening in to their conversations, that satellites are spying on them, or that chip implants are tracking their every move. Well, I wouldn't point to those as examples of paranoia. All right, enough of that article. It's an interesting world, but I really didn't want to get too far afield. The point that I wanted to make was primarily that we hopefully as humans are communicating. We're communicating the deepest of our essence with each other. And I had an interesting exchange with a theologian that I want to bring to the conversation that I have next week with Nick Hayes as we do a follow-up on Paralandra. This theologian got in touch with me. He is a listener, and I know him, and I've spoken with him before. But he said, you know, this is his area of expertise was this last section of Paralandra, which Nick and I described as an acid trip. And he said, you know, I'll tell you what the acid trip is talking about. Now, I'll wait until next week when Nick and I are discussing it, but I want to give you a small summary of the relational aspect that I can convey in the conversation about Paralandra. That you know, we'll get into the Trinity and all of that next week. But it excited me when I read it just today because it is the relationship that we have with each other, but also our relationship. I think divine is a perfectly fine word. God, whatever, you know. But you either believe that you are imago Dei and created in the image of, or you don't. And if you do, then you're having an interaction with that. We would hope that you are relating in that way, This infuses all of your relationships. All of your relationships are a dynamic dance. But at the essence, you are communicating, well, maybe the essence, right? At the heart of communication is to share as much of yourself. I'm not talking about the kind of privacy and personal information that artificial intelligence wants to glean and data scrape and data mine. I'm talking about opening yourself up and receiving that which another person offers you. But increasingly, we're not offering each other much. If you're writing and you're using ChatGPT to write a letter that you want to share with someone, then it really is ChatGPT who's talking to that person that you are writing a letter to. Why would you do that? Why would you bring in a machine into that relationship? It's the same with art. I would rather, I don't have time to put on the book cam and sketch a stick figure in the jungle, but I would rather have a stick figure of a man in the jungle than some AI-generated thing that bears no relationship to reality. I mean, I wouldn't want to know a man who had the time to get the kind of abdominal striation. It's creepy. I mean, you know, so, yeah, I've said it before. I like authentic. I like real. I think that's what we are really here to do. We are here to communicate. We are here to share the essence of who we are with other people. And this is rapidly just going down into a sinkhole bog, never to be retrieved again. So, like I said, when I first typed that in, Keir Starmer is the devil, and then I got my little reprimand, I thought, wow, that's something else. Now, the first reprimand that I got was worded a little differently. It said, there is no credible proof that Keir Starmer is the devil. But I couldn't, for keyword search it, to get that response again. So I thought, well, you know what? I never go on Google. I never use Google, but let's try Google. And mercy, what I am so happy I did, because if you want to get your hand slapped, here it is from Google. Here's my search query. Keir Starmer is the devil. Making such a statement about any individual, including a political figure like Keir Starmer, is highly inappropriate and not based on reality. There is no factual or evidence-based support for this claim. Such a characterization is a metaphorical and inflammatory attack rather than a factual statement. In politics, extreme language is sometimes used to criticize opponents and evoke strong feelings. However, it is fundamentally a matter of opinion, not a statement of fact. So, what I know is true is that there is a digital profile of me. I didn't need James Giordano to tell me that. Alan Watt told us all that many, many years ago. Our digital doppelganger is out there, and it's being added to all the time. And I think I just mentioned, maybe I didn't mention it yet to you, but a few weeks ago I was listening to James Giordano do a conversation with someone, and he said anybody between the ages of 2 and 70 alive today has their entire digital life is reconstructed and saved and known. And so when I'm talking to a chatbot window like Pops, I'm teaching it about myself. I am teaching the digital eye in the sky humor, what I find humorous, what I'm willing to share. I am teaching the digital eye in the sky that I may be a little risky, a little out of control there to say something so outrageous as Keir Starmer is the devil. And these things are noted in this, you know, in case you haven't noticed it, moving into the global panopticon Chinese social credit system. You're not a good girl if you call Keir Starmer the devil. Well, okay, that wasn't a short, and it wasn't even shortish, but I hope that you all have a good week, and God willing, I will be back with Nick Hayes next week, and we will get into the acid trip of Paralandra. And I have done a lot of supplementary reading and thinking, and now just today I got this from the theologian, and I have a completely different perspective on the last section of C.S. Lewis's Paralandra, and I look forward to sharing that with Nick and hearing what he has uncovered and thinks, and we will bring that to you next week. Take care. I've got something that the world didn't give me.
Father.